Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Again, we welcome you on this fifth Sunday of Easter, where we hear from the 14th chapter of John in Jesus' final farewell discourse to his disciples before the Passion. Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." It's a tough reading in many ways. I don't know about you, but probably the vast majority of times that I have heard this particular gospel read has always been at funerals. Probably 60% of the funerals that I've done in the last 30 plus years have used this text. So when I hear this text, that's what plays in my mind. It doesn't feel very Eastery at all. But there are some words that catch my eye and catch my ear. Jesus says to his disciples, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places." Most of us have heard that translated as rooms, but the word is actually tied together with the word for abide. Later in John, when Jesus says that he will abide with his disciples, it's that nominative form of that verb to abide. So a better translation might be, "In my Father's house there are many places to abide." And if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself. And you know the way where I am going. And here's my favorite line, because certainly it is how I feel these days. I feel like Thomas. Thomas says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" That's the phrase that caught my eye. With all of the madness in the world, I feel so much more like Thomas. I don't know what's going on or where it will end. I'm used to being, like many of you, pretty much in control most of the time. The poor people who are here working on doing the technology will attest to that, because I keep moving things around and saying, "No, do it some other way." But that's not what this text is about. Everything is out of control for the disciples, as it is for us. But Jesus gives them a promise. There is an abiding place for you. We're used to things going relatively well, and I hear time and time again that people are saying, "I can't wait to get my life back." We've even had protests in the streets of people gathering together and ignoring social distancing and all of the norms in the insistence that their personal freedom is more important than social responsibility. In this final discourse for Jesus, he reminds us that maybe power is less located in strength than in vulnerability. It's hard for us to admit that we cannot instantly change our lives or our circumstance or our world to suit our preferences or our hopes or ourselves. These days have led us into a kind of vulnerability that we did not expect, and frankly, I don't know about you, but I don't really care for it. I said at the beginning that this was a text that I read a lot at funerals, and I was reminded in this sense of vulnerability about Ginny's mom, Leona. She contracted cancer, which metastasized, and she was in a phenomenal amount of pain. But she knew that she couldn't fight it in the end. But I have this picture that has always stuck in my mind of Jeannie's mom sitting in their striped kind of mini Barca lounger in the living room with little baby Seth on her lap. She's in a full body brace made of plastic, and she can't really move from the waist up. She's in phenomenal pain because most of her spinal column has been eaten up by cancer, and there she is, bouncing this somewhat heavy and certainly overactive child on her lap. And in her vulnerability, finding joy, finding peace, sharing love. You see, it was more than just endurance for her. She allowed us to abide with her in her greatest crisis, to see the love of God and the love of her as a grandmother shine in the midst of her pain and her impending death. Nothing could have prepared us for that. Nothing could have prepared us for her cancer or her death. But I'm thankful that God made room for Leona in the midst of her crisis. I'm thankful that God had an abiding place not only for her, but for us. We have this urge to be in control, to be strong, to put on a good face. And it's just not helping. There's something powerful about living in the moment and in the hope that God has created, and abiding in the midst of where we are and seeking a future that may look nothing like our past. I guess I no longer strive for normalcy. I no longer strive that things should be put back the way they were any more than they would ever be for the disciples after Jesus died. But I look with joy and longing for the days ahead. Because I know though things are difficult now, Christ has remained with us in that abiding place. That Christ remains with us and abides with us in the midst of crisis and death and fear and frustration and loneliness. That the promise of Jesus is as true for us as it was for Thomas. He says to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. If you know me, you will know my Father. And from now on, you will always know God through me." So we have become like a swimmer caught in a riptide. And the biggest mistake people make is they keep trying to swim against the riptide as it pulls them out. But in fact, you must simply abide there and swim across it, or let it carry you out a ways and wait for it to play out. Life is found when we continue to take those deep breaths and swim together, so that we know that in God's love, we will come out on the other side. And so, dear friends, this day, on this fifth Sunday of Easter, I remind you that God has an abiding place for you, and that Christ abides in you. And that whatever our circumstance, whatever our difficulties, whatever darkness seems to loom on the horizon, that we will not be alone. That God's hope blossoms like a child bouncing on the lap of a dying woman as laughter plays across the room.